And no doubt you've seen product labels that are meant to provide information and appeal to people looking for environmentally friendly products. But what do these labels really mean? And how can you trust them? Here to explain is Dr. Tim Smith, Director of the Institute on the Environment's North Star Initiative for Sustainable Enterprise. Welcome to the Roadhouse, Tim.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, Tim, it seems you have a very interesting job, interesting position inside of the Institute on the Environment, the North Star Initiative. Bring us up to speed on that.
Sure. Well, I'm a professor here at the University of Minnesota in the Twin Cities, and about 6 or 7 years ago, we created this institute mainly to look at the way corporations and the things they do and the stuff they make, how they impact the environment. So we have a research agenda, a research initiative that studies those things.
And this is the North Star Initiative?
Correct. Correct.
Well, I'm certain a big portion of this is having to do with consumer product labeling and eco-labeling. Give us an idea of what this field entails.
Sure. Well, I think you're quite accurate in how you describe what an eco-label is in general. It's any kind of mark or signal that identifies a product or a service as having some degree of or meeting some degree of performance. And they take all sorts of shapes and sizes. Sometimes it's as simple as a self-claim made by a manufacturer and putting some kind of mark on a product that says, hey, we met this kind of, this level of performance. And it can be everything up to a third-party organization that certifies that those levels of performance have been met, and through to labels that actually provide some quantitative measure, sort of like a nutrition label on the back of a package, but with regard to environmental performance. So there's a whole variety of these kinds of things out there, which can sometimes be confusing and can sometimes be quite informative.
Well, and it seems like quite a proliferation, quite a trend, I know, in the last 5 or 10 years, where we've seen this shift towards green, sustainable consumer preferences. Certainly industry has responded. How much of it is truly change on their behalf, and how much of it is just marketing?
Well, again, I think it's across the board. I would say that there has been sort of a proliferation of these labels in some kinds of products, certain types of products. Food in particular has notoriously had many, many different labels, whether it's organic or biodegradable on packaging issues around food, or whether it's the new issues around genetically modified and genetically engineered ingredients in food. But we see it in, we see labels also in forest products and paper products. We see it in tourism and hotels. So they definitely are growing. And in some cases, they're quite good and quite ambitious in terms of their standards behind the label. And there's quite a bit of rigor in terms of meeting those criteria and therefore being awarded the certification and the label. But in some cases, it's $5,000 and a good consultant and you got yourself a label. Mm-hmm. So it really is a bit of the Wild West. It's all voluntary. And, in many regards, there's a fair amount of buyer beware with regard to these things.
Yes, yes. And, when you say voluntary, there's got to be a few of the bigger, like I know when it comes to organic foods, there's bigger agencies that are certification. Is it a third party, though? Is there any federal or government regulation on these labels?
Yeah, well, organic is a bit of a special case. The U.S. Department of Agriculture stepped in to a situation where there are many, many different organic claims being made and created a standard. And some people like that standard as finally we've got, the rule of that we can follow that's certified by the government. But many of the small producers who were really sort of going the extra mile and being quite rigorous in terms of the standards they were meeting kind of got lumped into this broader organic and then had to go out and create, new labels and new ways of communicating sort of a higher level of performance around, not having as much chemicals embedded in food is basically what we're looking at with organic.
Sure, sure.
You know, so but that's a bit of a special case. Most of them are if they're certified by a third party, it's usually a separate organization than the manufacturer that would certify them. And so that would be things like the Forest Stewardship Council, the Marine Stewardship Council. There's some biofuel standards. There's a number of these green seals, another one, where there's sort of a third party that comes in and plays a role of sort of being a middleman that hopefully increases the credibility and legitimacy of those marks.
Well, how much can we trust those third parties?
I think as far as you can throw them. I don't know.
I mean,
the most part, the third parties really do stand up do their best to make sure they're not only creating standards and the process for creating standards that are meaningful to the stakeholders that are driving those standards, but they also, are responsible for monitoring and verifying that the performance is being met. And sometimes that's a function of how successful in the marketplace the standard becomes, in terms of what kind of resources and capabilities they have to manage those. And to be perfectly honest, many of these standards bodies are starting to maybe even not label the products as much and more so label the facilities. And we've seen this through a number of sort of management system-oriented certification schemes. Something like the Roundtable for Sustainable Palm Oil is one of those, right? So businesses will buy business-to-business transactions of palm oil happen all the time in all the foods we eat. There's a fairly robust system now that's coming around to certify that, but it doesn't emanate. It doesn't culminate in a label per se that you might see as a consumer.
So it's not only driven by consumer demand, but within the industry. And are there other players, other pressures to develop sustainable products and meet standards that are modern, if you will?
Yeah, in fact, I participate in an SB part of a committee that's looking for the federal government in terms of how they purchase things to try to create some standards for these voluntary standards. And so trying to find ways of being able to identify proxies for these standards developers so that there's some kind of link between the label and the actual performance. And so the Environmental Protection Agency has been very engaged in this work and leading that work. But that drives, huge dollar volumes of purchases from the federal government and certainly the large retailers, Walmart, Target, and others have also, want to make sure that they too are following, rigorous and important developments in this field, so they also don't sort of put themselves out on a limb and risk their brand by endorsing products and these labeling schemes that turn out to maybe not be as rigorous as they'd like.
You're at the Roadhouse. I'm Dave Terstig, and we're talking with Dr. Tim Smith. He is the director of the Institute on the Environment's North Star Initiative for Sustainable Enterprise. We're talking about eco-labeling and greenwashing. And, Tim, we've been talking about organic labeling as one major term, major trend or movement, I guess. What are some other label titles? Just kind of throw me a barrage of what you're seeing out there for eco-labeling.
Sure. There's labels from everything from office furniture to computers to, again, forest products, fish, chocolate. Mm-hmm. They run the gamut. Some of them are exclusively for environmental performance. Some of them involve more social dimensions, like a fair trade to guarantee that small holders or small producers of things like coffee and cocoa and other commodities, that those farmers are paid a reasonable wage. And then there's standards that sort of blend the two, where there's both economic and social dimensions, things like the Rainforest Alliance, the little green frog logo, which is a bit more of a balanced standard across social and environmental. So you'll see the, you'll see these across many different product categories, but, some of them are quite evident. You know, things like coffee, you see labels all over the place. There's really two competing labels in the paper and forest product arenas, the Forest Stewardship Council label, FSC, and the Sustainable Forestry Initiative label, that's a bit more of a U.S.-specific label. So these things, there isn't oftentimes just one label for a particular product category. It really takes a pretty engaged buyer to be able to identify the differences and make sort of an informed choice.
Have you ever come across a satirical, humorous, taken to the extreme in your job, just on some joke label that, give me an example of something that isn't even quantifiable?
Oh, I'd hate to call out any one particular person, but especially these independent individual manufacturer labels, I think what's almost maybe more challenging with them is that they come and go so quickly.
Sure.
There was a food label that was developed. I don't want to say, I'd probably rather not maybe say the name out loud because there were some good people trying to develop them, but through the process of developing the label, it was supposed to be labeling sort of smart ways of buying food, and Fruit Loops cereal was able to get the label and meet the standard for the label, and that label went away quite quickly as soon as the press picked up that maybe a smart, healthy choice cereal might not necessarily be Fruit Loops.
Sure.
Even though it could meet that.
Sure, sure. Well, now let's talk about greenwashing. It sounds a little devious. What is greenwashing?
This is sort of the opposite of trying to put a green claim or label. I mean, it's basically the act of trying to superficially promote an attribute, an environmental attribute that doesn't exist within a product. And there's been a colleague of mine came up with a number of years ago now, the seven sins of greenwashing. And I think if you still go, there's a greenwashing.com or something, maybe, I believe is what it is. But, your listeners could certainly go and find that. But basically there's a ton of ways that you can greenwash. I mean, you can promote one attribute as being quite strong and ignoring a whole bunch of others, there's, you have something like, there's no steroids in use in producing milk, but steroids aren't really an issue because nobody uses steroids in them. It's those kinds of things. The idea of just no proof, that you can say something is environmentally friendly or all natural, and eventually, if you push if you push out far enough, everything's natural at some level, right? Just depends how long you want to look out.
Yeah.
In terms of time, but being vague, these sorts of worshiping of false labels, promoting labels that really don't have any backing or don't have any sort of meaningful stakeholder group behind them. I mean, any one of these kinds of strategies are oftentimes used, and I would argue that today they're used more by accident, maybe by people who just aren't very smart in terms of how they're developing their communication techniques and strategies, then really trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. I think that these are complex issues, and you can have a label that's on carpet that says, this is we've done all sorts of things to reduce the to improve indoor air quality, reduce the amount of VOC emissions coming from carpet when you put it in your home, and there can be a label for that, and it's very true. But in order to do that, you might actually be using materials that might have a higher, carbon emission impact associated with its manufacturing, and therefore, less beneficial from an environmental perspective. So I think most of the time when you get into these greenwashing claims, it's that it's really hard to communicate these complex trade-offs. And manufacturers and marketers are often trying to figure out which one of those attributes their customers might care about the most, and trying to target their communications for that. So I don't know. I tend to believe that companies aren't really in vast majority of companies aren't trying to pull the wool over our eyes as much as they probably haven't spent as much time thinking about how to communicate environmental performance as they should. Well, and tend to get themselves in trouble.
Now, how about this, Tim? Are there any legal ramifications to greenwashing? Is there suits being brought for false claims, false advertising?
Yeah, they have happened. The bar is set pretty high. You have to be found to be deceptive in your advertising, and that can be a pretty hard bar to get over. But certainly that happens. There's a whole mitigation process that's been put in place to take care of many of these sorts of company-on-company disputes that tend to happen. Most of the time when you have, issues of, Dell versus Apple or, Toyota versus Honda kinds of things around communications where one company will ask another company to take down its comparative claim. But that can definitely happen. But I think there's a set of guidelines that the Federal Trade Commission has put together called the Green Guides, and it's been updated a number of times. And those guides do sort of give you a bit of a roadmap of things you should and shouldn't do. You shouldn't put a recycling claim on a product if there's not sufficient recycling infrastructure in the area where you sell the product. So the fact that a piece of packaging is technically recyclable doesn't really matter if practically it can never be recycled.
Yeah.
So those kinds of things, really vague claims like all natural or just the communicating something as green in very vague terms is usually discouraged.
Hmm. Have you seen products, the labeling itself, changing colors? Is this part of greenwashing? I would presume is where suddenly the label is green. There's a leaf on it. It seems so easy.
Yeah.
Well, what are some practical...
I don't know what we can do about that.
Let's bring it back to the practical. And for our consumer listeners at home, how can we avoid succumbing to greenwashing?
I honestly think that in many ways, the green claim isn't that different than a quality claim. It's something that is very hard to see until you've had a lot of experience with a particular product. And in many ways, the green claim is quite similar. I can't really tell if the product has those green attributes embedded in it unless I can trust who's telling that to me. And so a lot of it is, if this is an important component, a lot of it is doing a bit of homework and building some trust in the manufacturers and the organizations that you support with your dollars.
Sure. In this modern World Wide Web, Google anything atmosphere, I'm sure there's a lot of review and a lot of consumer pages. Do you have any favorites you could recommend for our listeners?
Well, there are a number of them. There's a really pretty cool phone app. It's called Good Guides, where you can take a snapshot of the USB or
UPC,
the barcode, UPC, the barcode on the back of packages and products, and it'll pull up a number of ratings and scores on different dimensions of the performance of that product. Seeing if there's particular cleaners or things that you're buying at the grocery store, that can be an interesting thing to look at. A bit more, conceptually, there's a number of sort of umbrella organizations that that create guidelines for these different standards and labels. There's the UL company that does the electronics safety certifications has done some work in this space. There's Green Seal is one of those. There's another one that just slipped my mind out of British Columbia, and they are an umbrella over the Forest Stewardship Council and Marine Stewardship Council. but I'm unfortunately I can't come up with the name of that right now.
That's all right, Tim.
But there are a number of these that are quite, they can be quite useful and can be ways of sort of creating proxies. You know, so you don't have to learn every single label for every single product.
Well, that app sounds appealing. What was the name of that again? The Good Guide?
Good Guide.
Good Guide. Great. Look for it on Google Play, right?
Yeah.
Good stuff, Tim.
Yeah, that definitely there.
Well, Tim, we gotta wrap things up. It's time flies when you're avoiding being greenwashed. Anything else you'd like to add for our listeners?
No, just don't beat yourself up too bad if you get it wrong.
Yeah,
I think
right.
You try your best. You know, you make the best choices you can. Sometimes price wins out. Sometimes environment wins out. But I think incorporating environment into your decision making is an important step. And don't beat yourself up when you get it wrong.
Good stuff, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us on the Roadhouse. Enjoy your weekend and this fair summer weather.